This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
It's 11 o'clock here on Three Man Front. We had the NFL yesterday, but we're focusing on college football from Saturday. What happened this weekend? Reaction Monday. Pat, we continue with the phone calls of the big story. Is Bo Nix being benched? TJ Finley coming in? Cornelius Williams being fired yesterday, the wide receivers coach at Auburn, by Brian Harsin. And where does Auburn go from here?
So much to unpack down on the plains. And again, at 1:30 today on Matt McLaren's show, you can hear Brian Harsin live. We'll see if he addresses any of these things, naming a starting quarterback as they go heading down into Tiger Stadium. They are currently a 3.5-point underdog to the LSU Bengal Tigers.
Yeah, Alabama, a 14.5-point favorite, and Liberty is a 1.5-point dog.
That's right.
Playing at Protective Stadium against UAB as we get things cranked up downtown. A lot of people excited about that. You should be excited about the Fennec. Speaking of Birmingham, Parkside District, right there, 2nd Avenue South and 16th Street near Railroad Park, Regions Field. Go and check it out. They're open for lunch and for dinner. You want to go and you want to have a cold beer and a red Solo cup and get that easy, chill vibe, listen to live acoustic and country music. You can do that. They have acoustic for lunch. You want to go in and enjoy another act that they'll have for dinner? You can do that. You want to go with the Conecuh Corn Dogs, the wood-fired wings, a burger, a sandwich, curbside to go during lunch if you're working downtown? Fine. But date night, Pat, you want to take Leanne? I know after all these years, it's hard to look like a hero, but you could look like a hero in Leanne's eyes and go to the chic Foxhole Lounge, where you can get a handcrafted cocktail, a tomahawk ribeye. What's more manly than that? Or maybe some of the fresh diver scallops from the coast. It's the Fennec, thefennecbham.com, thefennecbham.com.
Quickly, before we get back to your phone calls, you know, a lot of Auburn fans was almost going to have a really, really bad weekend if Georgia State would have pulled the upset. But you could be a Florida State fan right now, right? You're 0-4. Well, Mike Norvell, having his weekly press conference, quoting directly, Mike Norvell, look, I'm pissed off that we're 0-4. We're going to work our butts off to get better, and we're going to do it the right way, in the quotes. So you think that will fire everybody up down in Tallahassee?
Well, again, you said, like, Brian Harsin saying, it was my decision. Who else was it to be? What else will we expect from Mike Ford?
I mean, I hope you're pissed off that you're
0-4. You come in and you're like, you know what? We got great kids,
we're getting better.
Hey, I saw a couple of minutes of that game. We looked pretty good.
Just think about that. You took Notre Dame, who continues to win. I mean, they look like world beaters in the fourth quarter against Wisconsin over the weekend.
Yeah.
You take them to the cusp of losing in overtime, then you lose to Jacksonville State, and it's just getting bad.
Unraveling.
It's bad in Tallahassee.
Yeah. Arkansas is in the top 10. Wake Forest is in the top 25, and who knows?
And Clemson's barely in the top 25.
Barely in the top 25. Let's go to Eric. He's in Bibb County. Eric, welcome into Three Man Front.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man, what's up?
Diehard Auburn fan, man. Look, Bo Nix. I'm tired of it, man. Like, I've been dealing with this, you know, that hard anyway. So, 2 years, he missing wide receivers wide open, overthrowing. Penn State game, I know it was 2 or 3 deep balls that he could have hit for touchdowns. And on the 4th and 8 play with TJ, I don't think Bo Nix makes that play. Because, like, if he start running, he's not looking downfield at all. And on the Bo Nix thing for starting LSU, I think he starts because the way Brian Harsin was talking, it seems like it was like a wake up call for Bo Nix. And guys, I'm gonna hang up and listen to see what y'all think.
Yeah, and thank you for the phone call, Eric. I don't know. Bo Nix knew that TJ Finley was behind him. I guess actually seeing TJ Finley put in the game, the reaction. Would it be more detrimental now, though, by looking at Bo Nix's reaction when he was pulled? How's that going to be viewed by his teammates? How is that viewed when you don't even go over and celebrate for your teammate, a guy that you practice with, that you're sharing reps with in that quarterback room when you're not even over there to say, hey, congratulations? If that happened in the locker room, fine, wonderful. I hope that it did for Bo Nix's sake. But the optics and doing that on the sideline, looks like you're a me guy. You're not going to win over a whole lot of guys especially those guys around you, your receivers, and continuing to build that rapport and your offensive line, quite frankly.
Let's just be honest. Last year at South Carolina, when you had that incident that took place on the sideline,
right,
there was not a viable option behind Bo Nix. Let's just be completely honest.
It was Grant Loy.
Exactly. Well, I guess what Thank I just you. Said. There was not a viable option. There is a viable option with T.J. Finley. When he announced that he was going to Auburn, we all said to each other, you know what? This is going to be good for Bo Nix because this is going to be a competition in the summer. It's going to be a competition in the fall. It's somebody that hopefully is going to push Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to be a better quarterback. That's going to be able to help Auburn out in the long run. Well, obviously, after four games, it's a different story. So now T.J. Finley, it looks like, potentially is going to get his opportunity to lead this team.
You know what's crazy is watching him, Bo Nix, in that first game versus Akron. I was the first to say, even though it was against a bad opponent, the decision-making.
But you could see some of the things from a technical standpoint that he had, you know, spent a lot of time working on, and it had appeared that Brian Harsin had gotten through to him to try to break some of those bad habits. But based on what you saw Saturday, it appeared that those had come back.
Yep. And, you know, as far as forming a good habit, it takes, what, 30 days? A bad habit, one day?
Yep.
And maybe that's just something he's not able to shake. Let's go to Sam. He's in Tuscaloosa. Sam, welcome to Three Man Front.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, fellas. This is my first time calling in.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. I have a quick statement and a question. I think the wide receivers coach was a sacrificial lamb, basically. And I think Bo Nix wasn't ready when he came in from Pinson Valley. You go from Pinson Valley to the SEC? No, he wasn't ready for that. And my question is, who's the quarterback coach? Because no one has said anything about him.
Mike Bobo, who is also the offensive coordinator, and Brian Harsin to an extent, because he has a history of coaching that position. I think that they both collaborate. So he's not going to fire himself, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I think that they can do a better job than that. But Bo, yeah, he wasn't ready from the beginning, man. And I'm an Alabama fan, so I really feel sorry for the boy. I really do. But, you know, like Bryce Young, for instance, this is his first year, for all intents and purposes, and look at the difference of the two. Both third year and his first season. It's a remarkable difference.
Yeah.
So I just hang up and listen from now on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bo Nix was highly touted as Bryce Young. And be fair, I think there are some other contributing factors. I'm not taking it all off of Bo Nix, but let's just look at the disarray that was the Auburn offense while Gus was there.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of quarterback development, which
the offensive line.
The offensive line. And week to week, maybe having a game plan installed and then, you know, Gus Malzahn second guessing, micromanaging, and all of a sudden doing things that you really hadn't practiced or planned to do during a football game.
Well, even when Rhett Lashley was there, you never knew if Rhett Lashley was really the one calling the plays. It would seem one week that, okay, that's Rhett Lashley. The next week, it appeared Gus was back doing what Gus shouldn't be doing. He should be the head coach. Let your coordinators call the plays. And then finally, Gus took it back over, and we saw the end result.
Dave is in Hoover. Dave, welcome to Three-Man Front.
Yeah, guys, two comments. One about the Texas-Oklahoma 11 o'clock start, and then Bo Nix. You know, accuracy can be taught, but what happens is accuracy is like if your mechanics are right, front foot's going where it's supposed to go, the non-throwing arm's going where it's supposed to go, your hips in the right place, and then repetition, you'll be accurate. But I see Bo a lot of times with a lot of quarterbacks where they're going to deliver the football, and if you're looking at a clock and he's going to 12 o'clock right down the middle, his front foot is going at 10 o'clock sometimes.
Yeah.
He's not even stepping at the target. And so if your footwork is off as a quarterback and your front, and if you're throwing on a stiff front leg, the ball's going to sail on you. You've got to bend, slightly bend the knee and follow through. And he doesn't do that all the time. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. And that's the inconsistency. And it's like you, how many times you've been to the golf course with a buddy of yours and you're hitting golf balls before you get the number one tee. And he hits four buckets of balls and gets out of the number one tee and he hits it 250 yards in the woods.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how many repetitions you take. If your mechanics are off, you're going to be inconsistent. It's that simple.
Yep.
Hey, and then back real quick, Oklahoma and Texas. Look, they're leaving. They don't want to be there. If I'm a commissioner of Big 12, I don't want you here. you gave your 2 week notice, so guess what? I'm gonna make it like miserable. You'll play the 11 o'clock game.
Yeah.
It's not like these game times were announced, okay, 3 years ago. The game times were just announced recently, and they're leaving, so I'd put them at 11 o'clock.
Well, that's their, but their media rights deal, yeah. That's contractually where that headliner game usually falls. Isn't it? The 11 a.m.? That was part of their
it
frustration.
Is. And my whole point about it, and I tweeted about it, a lot of people from the Big 12 are tweeting at me right now, which is fine. But my point is that game should be either a 2:30 game, which obviously ESPN is going to take that over from CBS, or that needs to be a primetime game. That rivalry. You could say all you want to that game's been played there for all of eternity at 11 o'clock in the morning, but that is not the best time to play it. Matter of fact, it's only been played twice outside of the 11 o'clock window in the last 12 years. That was back in 2010 and 2017. But my point being is that they believe that this is a primetime matchup. And when I say primetime, I'm talking about either 2:30, which is the largest national window you could get, or you could be an ABC or an ESPN 6:30, 7 o'clock kickoff.
They won't have to worry about that. That will never happen once you get to the Southeastern Conference.
Not unless both of those teams find themselves in the basement of whatever pod they're in. They're not going to be kicking off at 11 o'clock.
No. Tom is in Bessemer. Tom, welcome to Three Man Front.
Hey, guys. Just a comment on that. That time slot is 11 a.m. Like you said, it's traditionally been an 11 a.m. time slot for the Oklahoma Texas game. And plus, where they play that game is the old Cotton Bowl Stadium in Dallas. And that is a very rough, high-crime neighborhood. So they play that game at 11 o'clock to get it over with while it's still daylight for safety reasons, I believe. That's what I've heard from the people out there.
I know it's tradition, but have they thought about maybe moving the side of that game?
To Jerry World?
If high crime, and that's a big issue, I guess if you don't have an alternative place to play, and you were forced to play there, but
there's a couple bigger venues there in the Dallas Metroplex that could play in.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Feels like there's one in Austin and one in Norman that could mm-hmm. play too.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Now, we can't speak on that because, even though appreciate the phone call. Yeah. They're members, but we don't know nothing about that. We need to stay in our lane. They're not members yet, officially.
Like I said, unless those two teams find themselves in the cellar of whatever pod they're in, I promise you, they come to the Southeastern Conference, they're not going to be playing many 11 a.m. games.
Michael is in Trus Vegas. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think another problem, and I think the deal was that Auburn had been playing up to their potential the last couple of years, and a lot of that happens is when the players during practice, if they see that the quarterback that's on the field is not their best option, they're not going to go 100% all the time. They talk to each other, and I hear even high school kids, you hear it all the time. The coach is playing his buddy's son at quarterback or whatever. So I think part of it was last year, I think when Malik Willis got run off, I think a lot of Auburn players held a grudge the whole year against Bo Nix. And I think Coach Harsin saw that starting to brew again, and he had to make the move. He didn't have a choice. Because you lose the team for the rest of the year, then his job's at stake.
Well, without knowing the inner workings and some of the stuff that's going on or has gone on and the dynamic of Bo Nix and the rest of that team, what would you do on the surface right now? You starting T.J. Finley against LSU? You starting Bo Nix?
Yeah, I start T.J. Finley. And for right now, it's his job to lose because even after Bo Nix got benched, they went a bunch of players going over there telling him it's okay and giving him support and tapping on the back and everything. It works both ways. They was happy for the change. They've been waiting for it all year. And so I think it showed by him going off there and sitting by himself and just having this, that shows his attitude, but the other players not going over there and pumping him up and telling him it's okay, we're going to get through it. That shows their attitude.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Attitude reflects leadership, right?
Sure.
So if you're the leader of that football team, you go out and you don't have guys that are coming over as your teammates, what does that say about your leadership?
Yeah. Also says that you might not be as well liked as you think you are in the locker room.
800-239-WJOX. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome to the Three Man Front.
Yeah, hey guys. I'm actually an Alabama fan, but I just want to say when I hear about all this Bo Nix stuff, it reminds me a lot of when Brody Croll was playing at Alabama. Just kind of felt like they were putting somebody out there because his dad played there. They lost a lot of games with him out there. I just want to hang up and see what y'all think about that.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, Brody did play for a lower classification. Obviously, Bo played for 6A, which obviously 7A is the largest classification in the state. Of course, again, Kroll was much lower because of private school situation. But Brody Kroll had the ability. But there were other issues with that Alabama football team because of probation and some other issues. Did not quite have the guys around him, and a lot of people might say the same thing about Bo Nix in regards to not having the type of offensive line that Bo Nix needed. But I think the whole yo-yo thing about the play calling with Gus Malzahn, Rhett Lashley, Chad Morris, all those things I think can play into what you're seeing with Bo Nix. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
So, again, it's Bo Nix to go out there and perform. We all agree that Bo Nix has the physical attributes to be a good quarterback for whatever reason. Mechanically speaking, those type issues have really been, I guess, shown in the limelight the last couple of years of this football team. And now you have somebody on the roster that you have more confidence in to be able to go out there and perhaps perform better than Bo Nix.
And that's the thing. They've recruited other quarterbacks, but they haven't stayed. They haven't panned out for whatever reason. I know Malik Willis is going to be the easy one to draw, but I mean, some of the other guys, I don't think Brian Harsin was playing favorites. I think Brian Harsin came in, evaluated the roster, and said, oh, boy, we're going to need a very capable backup, whether it's for injury or Bo Nix doing what I've seen on his last two seasons as a college football starter, what he's done. If we can't get this corrected, we're going to need somebody to come in. That's why T.J. Finley is there.
And yeah, again, and don't forget that T.J. Finley, why he's at Auburn is because he was given the indication when he started looking at schools he wanted to go to, what is the best route for me to get on the field the quickest? And it was Auburn University, because he knew, based on what the coaches had told him, that this competition is going to be more open than people think. And if we do get into a situation you're not starting quarterback, you're going to be given every opportunity to win that starting role.
Rob is in Birmingham. Rob, welcome in.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, one of the prior callers, and I've heard this, you know, a little bit over the weekend about the wide receiver coach being a sacrificial lamb. Absolutely not. That's not true at all. Auburn has needed this leadership for a long time from somebody that's run the program, and you guys probably saw the post-game press conference. He was irritated. He was proud of his guys for winning the game, but he said a couple times, Finley won the damn game. So, but my main point is about the wide receivers coach. No, ever since the Penn State game, yeah, Akron, sure, the receivers did great because they were three times better athletes than Akron's DBs were. But if you watch Penn State, if you watch the game against Georgia State, receivers are not running crisp routes. Route tree's terrible. And they're also not run blocking, which is 90% an effort thing. There's some technique there too. But I love the move Harsin made going into SEC play. You got to be accountable for your job and for your position. The wide receivers were not showing anything to make me think the wide receivers coach was being accountable for what he was supposed to do.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate the phone call, Rob. Oh, I agree. It was a ballsy move. Like that was and you say, well, it was against Georgia State. Well, I mean, just think about it. I mean, think about making that move in that time and putting faith in your quarterback, T.J. Finley, to go 98 yards late in that ball game and to make it happen. And guess what? Looks like a genius because it happened, and Auburn still only has one loss as they head into SEC play.
And we said earlier, we both agree that we don't believe that if Gus Malzahn had that situation, he would have made a change.
No, and I think 99% of Auburn fans would agree. Jason is an Alabaster. Jason, welcome into Three Man Front.
Hey, man, how you guys doing today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Hey, man, doing well. Yeah, I think that, you know, my dad played at Auburn, and I know a lot of guys down there, and I've heard a lot of chatter. And, you know, Bo Nix just hadn't really lived up to the hype, I don't think, you know. You know, and as far as the wide receivers go, we need a better wide receivers coach. I don't think that Cody Byrne was a great wide receiver coach, to be honest with you. So I don't think the wide receivers have really been coached up for quite some time. You know what I mean? And I mean, we've let go of Joey Gatewood. We've let Malik Willis get out, and I don't think Harsin saw what he wanted to see in Bo Nix. So I think that's why T.J. Finley's there.
So you think T.J. Finley's the guy on Saturday?
Oh, man, you know, against his old team, it's in Baton Rouge at night at 8 o'clock. Well, that's going to be a tough call. I don't know, man. Right now, though, I mean, the way he performed the other day, the poise he had, the way he stood in the pocket, I mean, man, he looked like the guy. So, yeah, I'd have to go with him, or I'd have to have him standing right there beside me real close.
Ready to go.
Here's one thing you can say about T.J. Finley you can't say about Bo Nix. He has won a game in Tiger Stadium. So,
yeah, he knows what to expect. And, you know, that crowd's probably not going to be too nice to him. But, you know, I just think that, you know, maybe this wakes Bo Nix up a little bit. Maybe this, you know, takes that little chip off his shoulder that he might have, you know, because his dad played at Auburn and he was expected to be the guy. You know, maybe this makes him dig a little harder. So, We'll see. You know, it always, you know, it might bring out something in him we haven't seen yet. So, yeah, I hope it does, though. You know what I mean? I hope both of them do well, you know. It'll be interesting to see what happens in Tiger Stadium and what Coach Harsin does. But I think the right guy is at Auburn and Coach Harsin. I think Auburn hired the right guy.
Jason, we appreciate the phone call. And to be fair, not just Bo Nix. I mean, dating back to 1999. No other Auburn quarterback has won inside of Tiger Stadium.
There's been a long list of guys not being successful there.
It's not just pin it down on Bo Nix.
Exactly.
There's been a long list of heartbreaking losses in that stadium for the Auburn football program. 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. Philip is in Arab. Hey, Philip.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Hope you are.
I just wanted to say, you know, I don't know what the answer is with them, but, I mean, T.J. Finley did take them on that 98-yard winning drive. But if you notice during that time, T.J. Finley overthrew quite a few people, too, like Bo Nix was doing. So
he was not perfect, no.
No, and it just worries me a little bit what's going to happen. You know, if you remember last year, I think, wasn't it Auburn that made T.J. Finley look so bad and cost T.J. Finley the starting job at LSU when they played Auburn?
Well, LSU looked bad everywhere. I don't know how much it had to do with T.J. Finley. He was running for his life. He got no protection in that game whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's neither here nor there. He's going to make mistakes. He's not going to be perfect, no.
Yeah. Maybe, it's, you know, he first game in there like that, you know, he just got thrust in there. So maybe if they do start him, he'll settle down and make them throws. But I got to say, both of them were making some bad throws, and I'm concerned about the secondary. You know, before the year started, they were talking about how Auburn may have the best secondary in the SEC. But now you see these guys running 15 yards wide open, and just kind of concerning.
Yeah, I get the concern, and that was obviously one against Penn State that, you know, Auburn fans had. Even Brian Harsin said, we're working to correct that. I don't know how much of it was scheme, defensive scheme. Maybe it was a good bit. I know one thing, and we talk about it all the time, Pat. There's things you can control. You can't control a Georgia State coming out on offense and showing you wrinkles and keeping you off balance, right? I mean, for an extent, you can't. What you can't control is effort. And Auburn absolutely did not bring any effort on Saturday.
Well, it's like you said, it appeared that Auburn was just going to go out there. This was, hey, we've got Auburn on the side of our helmet. We're going to be able to outman them. And that was the shocking part, was Georgia State came out and they moved them off the ball. Georgia State ran down Auburn's throat in the first half. But sign of a good football team is being able to make adjustments at halftime and being able to overcome those adversities that you had throughout the game. And that's what Auburn did. Auburn kicked way too many field goals. They should have at least put in one or two of those in the end zone. But they were in a position at the end of the game. A win is a win. And now you're in the SEC thick of it, and you got to make a decision at quarterback.
Yeah, we'll continue with the phone calls. Also, if you think it's bad, almost losing to Georgia State, it could always be worse. That's part of our train hot and cold of the weekend. And we got Pat Ponders rolling your way as well here on Reaction Monday. Three Man Front and Jocks 94.5.
Three Man Front. Weekdays.
Right here on Jocks.
Jocks 94.5.
11:28. It is Three Man Front Reaction Monday. We appreciate all of your interaction. That's why we do it on Mondays, Pat. We open up the phone lines, and who would have thought we would have gotten the interaction prior to this weekend that we got? You know, Alabama having Southern Miss, Auburn having Georgia State. Those were just going to be, all right, let's fine-tune some things before Alabama's big matchup with the Ole Miss Rebels, and then Auburn's matchup coming in Tiger Stadium. But, woo, Alabama, it was status quo. Jameson Williams looked great. Touched the football, what, three times? Had two kickoff returns for touchdowns and an 81-yard touchdown reception. But for Auburn, lots of storylines. Bad all the way around. You came back, you won the game. That's what's important. You bench your quarterback, bring another guy in, fire wide receivers coach. And when you thought, okay, you could kind of see the direction of this Auburn football team, even after the loss to Penn State, now you're going, all right, wait a minute. Was this just a flash in the pan? Because you're going to have those type of performances, but never did I think that Auburn would be trailing Georgia State 24-12 for a large portion of that ball game, especially going in late in the second half.
Yeah, and I want to throw this out there. We should know in a few minutes, it typically comes out on Monday for the television schedule for the next couple weeks. The October 9th is the week we're currently looking at. That's a big weekend with Georgia playing Auburn and Alabama heading to Texas A&M. There's some strong speculation on social media this morning that the Alabama-Texas A&M game will be a night game at Kyle Field on CBS, and Georgia-Auburn would be a 2:30 game also on CBS. So it would be a doubleheader there for CBS. And again, that would be Auburn and Georgia at 2:30, Bama and Texas A&M, a night game at Kyle Field. Nothing official as of yet, but that is the heavy speculation from some media folks throughout the country that is posting things in regards to what the TV schedule is going to look like for major college football in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned Georgia. Early betting lines right now, Georgia an 18.5-point favorite over Arkansas coming up this weekend. Alabama, 14.5-point favorite over Ole Miss. Auburn is a 3.5-point dog at last check in Tiger Stadium. And UAB, a 1.5-point favorite, taking on Hugh Freeze and previously unbeaten until last Friday night, Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty did not look good up at the Carrier Dome, so maybe that will continue the hangover here in Birmingham on Saturday.
All right, not only do we do reactions every single Monday, but we also have our Train hot and cold of the weekend. We always tell you about our friends at Train. Seasons change. One thing that never changes is the reliability of a Train. That's why Train has been named America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC for 7 consecutive years, and they're our heating and cooling partner here at Jocks. Visit train.com to find a comfort specialist near you. They test so it runs, it's hard to stop a Train. UAB, they get the win over Tulane. Went in as a 4.5-point underdog. Yeoman Stadium, first time Tulane has been there all season because of Hurricane Ida. UAB's 7th consecutive road game. They get it done, but the hot for me has got to be tight end Garrett Prince. Garrett Prince, Conference USA Player of the Week last week, and 2 touchdowns that he had, 1 of 42 yards, 1 of 61 from Dylan Hopkins versus North Texas. When he goes out, has 6 catches on Saturday, 2 touchdowns. For the season, 5 touchdowns for Garrett Prince. That is more than he amassed in all of 2020 when he had 4.
Wow. It's big time.
He's been a nice weapon, Brian Vincent's offense.
All right, the hot for me, Landrum, took place yesterday afternoon at the friendly confines in Chicago, Illinois. Gosh. The Cardinals have now won 16 games in a row. It's the longest winning streak in the National League since 1951. They're 1 game away from securing their spot in the playoffs. But again, the Cardinals, 16 straight wins. That is my hot.
Yeah, congratulations. Braves swept the Padres. They're 2.5 up on the Phillies. That's a big series starting tomorrow. Just throw that out. All right, it's time for our cold of
the
weekend.
Did the Braves win 16 in a row this year?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was checking.
I did not. All right, here's our cold, or my cold, anyways. PJ Fleck in Minnesota, hosting what has been the punchline of college football jokes at the FBS level now for 3 years running, and the Fighting Scott Lefflers of Bowling Green. Are you kidding me? Bowling Green goes up. They get paid $1 million to go and to beat Minnesota.
And they did. Man, did they. They were a 30.5-point underdog.
Wild to think about. And what PJ Fleck had to say after the game, I don't disagree, but woo. You talk about just, I mean, hearing it from your fan base. If there was one game, and this is after going on the road and taking care of business against Colorado. Well, I say this. If you thought it was bad with what you saw inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium, it can always be worse.
It always can.
Because I would have Georgia State right now as a 15.5-point favorite over Bowling Green.
What do you think was worse, right, losing 62-0 in a conference game or losing to Bowling Green in a non-conference game?
It's the first win they've had in 23 months. The last win came over Akron.
And Akron historical game,
returned the favor last year and broke that long losing streak. That's a cold for me.
All right, cold for me. What a great day yesterday afternoon for the Americans at the Ryder Cup. But the cold is the Europeans. The European rookies went 1-8-2 over the weekend against the Americans, but it didn't stop there, Landrum. Paul Casey, he went 0-4 for his team, and only three Europeans had winning records over the Americans. It was the first time since 1967 that the U.S. won or tied all five sessions of the Ryder Cup, and I even saw Koepka and DeChambeau hug. I actually saw that yesterday. I'm sure it was a one-day-only thing.
And I'm going to be really, really ticked off if in a like tell-all book they say that it was all staged and they're actually buddies.
They're working on their PIP scores. That's all they were trying to do. But, yes, the Americans dominated the Europeans. The Europeans didn't know what hit them. Again, all five sessions, the Americans dominated, and they win the Ryder Cup.
That's a train hot and cold of the weekend. As football season rolls on, you know changes in the weather are here. You got to protect your HVAC system with a checkup from a Train Comfort Specialist. It's going to give you peace of mind for the cooler weather to come. They're the official cooling partner and partner of Jocks. You can find a comfort specialist near you at train.com. Like we say, it is hard to stop a train. We'll get back to your phone calls here. As promised on this Reaction Monday, let's go to Brad. He's in Homewood. Hey, Brad.
Hey, buddy. And now y'all just brought it up, Pat. If you notice, Bryson and Brooks hugged and immediately went the opposite direction,
yes,
and were never close to each other again the rest of the time. Any pictures on stage? Anywhere else?
Oh, yeah.
I found that pretty funny.
Yes, just that one glimpse, just real quick, enough for a meme, and then boom, it's over. It's back to hating each other.
It looked like Brooks was going in for a handshake, and
they didn't know what to do. It was very awkward looking.
Hug.
Yep. It was awkward,
weird.
But at least it did happen.
It did happen.
They did it for America, and now they can go back to hating each other.
Yeah, and to that point, I did not watch much of the Auburn game because I was in full Ryder Cup mode, but I will say, I mean,
qualify yourself, Brad, because I know your history, a little bit of your history. You played wide receiver at Auburn, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Correct. I practiced a lot.
You did, from what I understand.
Scout team, All-American.
Okay. So you are qualified to talk about what you've seen from the wide receivers.
Yeah, I'll say this, you know, most of the position coaches, 90%, especially wide receiver and running back, I'll leave special teams out because I didn't count. You know, your main job as a coach, a position coach, is implementing the offense, making sure you know how to run the routes to put you at the right depth in that offense, and recruiting. It's not rocket science. So, you know, I don't know if this wide receiver coach just didn't understand the offense to implement it when they go in every day, and they start building the package out and just couldn't get it implemented. Nobody's told me that, but that's pretty much what he does. They go in the film room, he draws it up, shows where to go, shows what routes are going to run. Those routes require X amount of steps, whether it's a four-step out or a six-step out, whether it's a five-step post, you know, however, all those things are predetermined, and it's got to be implemented. And then you go out and you work on the routes, you do some one-on-one sessions, you run a seven-on-seven and some scaly, and then you go to team. And so it had to be something that was obvious that it wasn't being implemented correctly and was being seen in practice as well. Or, which obviously I don't know, it was something else off the field. I mean, it's just real odd that your wide receiver, you can't keep a wide receiver coach through four games, and there's no reason to make him a scapegoat because it doesn't change anything. So, that,
right.
And you know, if everybody's called in, I haven't heard one person say his name because hell, nobody knows him or knows who it is. I Googled it just to try to find some information, just to read more up on it, to find anything. Not one article I found besides one thing on Twitter even had his picture in the article. It was either another receiver or Coach Harsin or somebody else. They didn't even show him.
Who are you talking about?
Cornelius Williams.
Oh, yeah. There's a picture. There are pictures that are out there, but
no, there are some. I'm just saying, like when I just Google Auburn Fires wide receiver coach, the first six articles I pick, they're not one of them have him on like the top of the story.
Gotcha. Well,
but no, I've got a Twitter article and some other ones that did have it. I'm just saying. It's not like he was anybody that's going to say, okay, yeah, we knew he was a problem. Nobody knows who. Nobody could even have named his name before yesterday.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Brad. Thank you.
Y'all have a good one.
You
Thanks,
too.
Brad.
800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. We get one more phone call. Let's go to Skyler in Birmingham. Skyler, welcome in.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, Skyler.
Good. Hey, is Cole there today?
Cole is not here today. He wrapped up things with McElroy and Kublik. Yeah.
I was going to get his opinion on something. But anyway, just a few of my observations for watching on Saturday. You know, whenever you've got a team undergoing a total cultural rebuild like Auburn is right now, there's going to be some really inconsistent play. You know, teams like this are notoriously inconsistent the first year or two when a cultural rebuild of this magnitude as I'm being undergone. It seems to me, after watching four games of it, and I've been watching Auburn for about 30 years now, the talent level is much closer to what Tuberville inherited in 1999 than what Gus inherited in 2013. I don't think they have a whole lot elite talent. You know, like the running backs are elite, but you're not going to get elite production out of them until the offensive line is fixed. The thing that really concerns me, and I think it's gonna tell Harsin's ultimate fate with all this, is you know, when Tuberville came in 1999, he inherited nothing. You know, Bowden had run the program pretty much into the ground. You know, but he was able to turn it around in 3, 4, 5 years, culminating in that 2014 that went undefeated. He was able to turn it around because the barbecue boys, and he had people on staff that he trusted. You know, we make fun of the barbecue boys all the time on the bunker and places like that. But, you know, he really trusted those guys, and they were able to build something together. I think half the staff right now doesn't trust each other at Auburn. I don't think the SEC guys trust the Boise guys. I don't think the Boise guys trust the SEC guys. And Harsin strikes me as somebody who really, really demands a kind of loyalty. I don't think he does insubordination very well. And right now, I think what's going to have to happen, I don't think this is going to get totally fixed until Harsin gets all the guys on staff that he wants and that he trusts. That's just my opinion. And I will say one more thing. I've heard a lot of people, you know, sticking up for Bobo and Will Friend and Cornelius Williams and Derek Mace and Zach Etheridge. But if the SEC guys want everyone to revel and their infinite football wisdom, then their respective positions should quit playing like. I'm going to hang up and listen.
There's frustration, obviously, from the Auburn fan base. Thank you for the phone call, Skyler. We got five questions coming your way. Pat Ponders, next on Three Man Front.
This is Three Man Front.
11:49, the Matt McLaren Show follows us at noon, as he does every day. Monday through Friday. Nick Saban's press conference shortly after noon. Brian Harsin's press conference at 1:30. Both of those brought to you by the folks at Union Home Mortgage.
All right, it's now official. Quickly, before we get to Pat Ponders, TV for October 9th, you will have Vandy and Florida at 11. South Carolina, Tennessee, that will be also at 11. At, as I mentioned, Auburn and Georgia, that is going to either... How about this? Arkansas, Ole Miss, Georgia, or Auburn will either be at 11 o'clock on ESPN or CBS, but it's official. Bama and Texas A&M, they will play at night at Kyle Field.
Oh, sweet.
On October 9th.
All right, speaking of benching, is it time for you to bench what you're driving right now? Donahue Auto, one of the greatest selections of pre-owned automobiles you're going to find anywhere in the country. It's really simple. Go to their interactive website. It's DonahueAuto.com. That is DonahueAuto.com. Five questions from Pat. This is what we call Pat Ponders. Alabama roofing professionals, don't get on the roof. Let them do it absolutely free of charge. Inspect it. You good to go? That's always awesome. You need to maybe replace something. That's fine. You can replace your entire roof. Maybe repair something. They warranty all the work they do and the blow-in insulation service to keep your home energy efficient 12 months out of the year. Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com.
All right, listen carefully, guys. This is question number one. Can you identify this sound that was prevalent at Villanova football practices last week?
Yep.
Any guess?
Yep.
What's the guess?
That is the repellent that they put out for the death hornets.
Oh, you mean like one of the trucks, like when you were little and they would like do the mosquito gas?
Yeah.
In your neighborhood?
They had those because they're apparently the death hornets making their way to the Philadelphia area.
Okay. So that is your guess. That's your official guess.
That's an official guess.
Okay. How about you, John? You got an official guess?
I will say it was the Philly fans getting ready to boo Jalen Hurts.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
Actually, both of them are incorrect. That audio was from Villanova football staffers walking around last week during practice with leaf blowers. This was to simulate the crowd noise of 105,000 fans in Happy Valley. Why leaf blowers, you ask? Well, Villanova requested the neighborhood that their football practice facility is. They wanted to have blaring music, and the neighborhood said, nope, can't do it. It's too early in the morning. We've got restrictions. Can't do it. So they decided, well, you know what? People cut their grass. People use leaf blowers. So they actually had a team of staffers walking around the Villanova football practice, standing right behind the quarterback, blowing multiple leaf blowers to simulate the crowd of $105,000
at Happy Valley. What was that final score?
Yeah, this is what, 38-17, something like that?
Looked like it worked. Okay.
Well, here's my thing. Totally unnecessary, number one. If you watch anything on Beaver Stadium, the history there, they had the whiteout, and they created that because it was known as basically a cemetery during college football games. While you had 110,000, they all sat on their hands. They only get up for really one game a year and go crazy.
That's the whiteout.
Plus, you're Villanova. Those fans weren't excited. That team wasn't excited to play you.
Well,
given the final score.
The athletic director for Villanova, I found this out. He used to be a staffer in the late 1990s, early 2000s with the New England Patriots. And for whatever reason, at that juncture of the Patriots franchise, I think they used this trick. I think they used the leaf blowers as a way to try to overcome certain sounds that they would experience at other visiting stadiums. So he utilized that in regards to Villanova's preparation against Penn State.
Patriots are always used to dealing with air in practices. That's good to know.
So
either putting it in or deflating. Good to know.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's today's abbreviated Pat Ponders, but I thought that was a good one for you and John to try to figure out.
What else could they have done? Because if there's noise ordinances, the leaf blowers, I guess that wouldn't qualify. Let's just give everybody their own earbuds and just blast music in their ears.
It's a good idea.
You're going to use that anyways.
Mm-hmm. But it was just an odd look. I saw some pictures of it happening. That was the audio that somebody captured from one of the practices. And it was just like, wow. And hats off to them for finding a workaround because the neighborhood said, not letting that happen. Not happening.
Well, we'll continue to talk. We're going to learn, hopefully, something about Auburn's quarterback situation. Brian Harsin coming up at 1:30, the live press conference during Matt McLaren's show. How much we learn remains to be seen, but then we'll kind of turn the page coming up tomorrow. We'll react to that, but we're going to have Mike Griffith, of course, from DogNation.com that's going to be joining
us. Big game against Arkansas. He proclaimed to us 2 weeks ago, and we kind of laughed when he said that the biggest game left on Georgia's schedule is Arkansas. And how about Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler will call that game at 11 o'clock on ESPN this Saturday?
Mm. Any surprise that Jameson Williams is the
special teams player of the week
for Alabama?
Not at all.
Mm-mm. All right. We continue. Matt McLaren and the Matt McLaren Show comes your way next. Nick Saban's press conference, as well as Brian Harsin's. Your reaction to what happened this college football weekend. From all of us to all of you, enjoy the rest of your Monday. Get in the stance and put your hand.
This is Three Man Front on Jax 94.5.